Hello, and welcome to the Rails MVP podcast. I'm Jason Cipher.
And I'm Greg Pollock.
And this is episode 76, April 22nd, 2009. The Rails MVP podcast is sponsored this week by Integrum. Integrum is a team of dedicated Rails developers who emphasize business value, speed to market, and open communication to build remarkable Rails applications. Building on constant communication with you, they guarantee that you get the work you want done. Check them out at integrumtech.com.
So everyone knows the only disadvantage of running Fusion Passenger is that you have to run Apache, right?
I guess that sucks for some people. I don't mind Apache. I think it's nice. But if you're used to something like Nginx, that's, you know.
Well, Jason, Christmas has come early for you this year. Last Thursday, do you know how to pronounce his name?
Ninbui.
Last Thursday, Ninbui announced the release of Fusion Passenger for Nginx.
Awesome.
Yeah, you should check out Jeffrey Grossenbach's screencast that was up on the Fusion website, which walks you through how easy it is to get up and running.
Cool. So didn't Fabio Akita do some benchmarks?
Yeah, he ran some initial benchmarks, and what he found is that they performed about the same, you know, Nginx versus Apache. And, you know, I get the feeling that that's going to be continue to be the same if you're running, you know, for as far as Rails performance, because you would think that they're sort of sharing the same code base, right?
Well, right. I mean, they're both running Passenger, so that's not surprising that that speed's the same. But I was more under the impression that Nginx is better for low memory usage and faster asset serving.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see some benchmarks to that extent as well. Also, if you want to give Nginx with Passenger a try on Ubuntu, John Stenquist wrote up a great walkthrough showing you everything you need to know to get up and running.
Matt Jankowski put up a list of Rails 2.3.2 upgrade gotchas. If you're planning on upgrading your Rails app to 2.3.2, check it out. Probably the best heads up that I thought is the count through associations bug. Apparently, there are errors on a count that goes through a named scope on a has many through. This used to successfully...
Your mouth is moving, but all I heard was...
Anyway, I guess this used to actually work and perform a successful SQL count query, but now an error is out.
Oh, wow. And what blog was this on?
You know, the really large cyborgs one.
The what?
You know, the really large cyborgs blog?
What are you talking about?
You know, synonyms?
Oh, you mean giant robots smashing into giant robots?
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Yeah, I was hoping we wouldn't have to play the sound.
And well, Jason, you do edit the podcast, so you could just not put that in if you didn't want to.
Never thought of it that way.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
This week, Spike Alakwa let us know about a gem he wrote called Strongbox, which provides public key encryption for Active Record.
But aren't there existing plugins out there that let you encrypt your data already? What's different about Strongbox?
Oh, good question. Most of the plugins that currently provide encryption use symmetric key encryption, meaning that the same password is used to both encrypt and decrypt the data. With public key encryption, you just need one password to encrypt the data and another password to decrypt the data.
Interesting. So if I wanted to store secure information on my server and my web server needed to decrypt the data, I might not even have the decryption password stored anywhere on my production box.
Exactly. So your data really would be secure because a hacker wouldn't be able to decrypt any of the data if he got onto your server.
Oh, that's awesome. All of my lolcat's passwords would be saved. The edge case guys recently released ShowOff, which is a gem for Rails 2.3 and above that eases the pain of showing off mockups for your site. Basically, it creates an app views mockups directory where you can put your mockups and use any templating language. Beware, because it's Rails 2.3 only.
Is it Hugh calling Born?
Who? I think it's like that. Hey.
Who?
Who?
You think it's who or Hugh?
Ho.
Who? Every few months, Who Calling Born adds a few more chapters to his free PDF book, Book of Ruby. And I'm happy to announce that the book is now complete with 425 pages and more than 300 sample programs.
That's it. That's how you say it.
Great job, he.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to work. Anyways, you can download the PDF book at sapphiresteel.com.
Ben Johnson put up a bunch of tips for Ruby developers and for Ruby development. All right, they're not actually Ruby development tips per se, but it's great advice nonetheless.
So what does he say?
Some of the things he says, use your time wisely. Don't go against the grain in Rails. Keep your documentation with your code. Think about what you read, get involved, and some other stuff. I don't really want to spoil it because it's good advice, so definitely go check out the page.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, he also advocates listening to the Rails Envy podcast, so you know it's a good list.
Obviously. So it's been a few months since we started releasing EnvyCasts, and I'm happy to announce that yesterday we released the first EnvyCast that doesn't have us in it.
Refreshing.
Yeah. Instead of us, it's David Black, you know, the guy from Ruby Power and Light who helps with RubyConf, RailsConf, and wrote Ruby for Rails.
Cool. I love Ruby for Rails on a different note. But anyway, what does he teach about?
We worked with him to create not one, but two EnvyCasts, which cover everything you need to know about Ruby 1.9. David walks through the new functionality in 1.9, things that have been changed or removed, shows a good number of useful code examples, and so on and so forth. So if you're thinking about making the upgrade, you might want to check it out. They're $9 a piece, you know, each EnvyCast, but you can get both for just $16. Shameless self-promotion.
And if you order in the next 10 minutes, we'll throw in a ShamWow. You'll say wow. You'll say wow every time. Talking about Ruby 1.9, David Palm wrote up an article last week called Ruby 1.9 Compatibility, a three-step ladder to bliss.
Ruby bliss. Do you think we'd sell more EnvyCasts if we told people for just $9 they could achieve Ruby bliss?
I think we would sell more if we said for just $9 you could get a job. Anyways, David has ported a good number of gems and Rails apps, and in this article, he lets you know about code he's had to fix and how to make things Ruby 1.9 compatible.
So, why would I buy the EnvyCast when I can just read this article?
Actually, you're right. Forget about it. Forget everything we just said.
No, really. The article gives you a few good tips, but the EnvyCast is far more detailed.
Oh, also, kind of along the Ruby 1.9 lines, Muhammad Ali put up a blog post showing how object extend possibly leaks memory in Ruby 1.9.1. Some people are already looking into it, so check it out if you can help.
This week, Ben Schofield wrote up a little article called Progressive Caching, where he talks a little bit about a new talk he's been doing which evangelizes page caching. Page caching, as you may already know, is where you write the entire contents of your Rails request straight to disk, so the next few requests can just pick up the cached static version straight from Apache or Nginx without touching Rails.
Because as we all know, Rails is pretty slow. But I think one of the problems with this is that you can't use page caching if your page has to be dynamic or it needs to have authorization.
Right, unless you serve up the dynamic parts of the page as an AJAX callback.
Right, this is true.
And Ben brings up this point and thinks that more people need to be taking advantage of this callback strategy, especially now that we've got Rails Metal, which allows you to have really quick responses.
Oh, right, because if it's just an AJAX callback, all you really have is like a pretty small payload. I'm actually using this in a site right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah, this technique is probably underrated.
Agreed. Ilya Grigoryk put up a post from his Gogoruko presentation titled Ruby Proxies for Scale and Monitoring. I'm not sure I totally understood all of this without actually seeing the talk, but he talks about the benefits of using proxies. Proxies are something like HAProxy or Squid, and in the Ruby world we have something kind of equivalent with Rack Middleware and Rails Metal. But, as Ilya points out on the blog, you can proxy protocols other than just HTTP. In his slides, he shows you how he wrote a proxy that adds persistence to Beanstalk using something called EMProxy, which he wrote that uses Event Machine. He says the memory footprint is only about 3-5%, which is pretty good for all the functionality you get. He also has an example on his blog of using that for benchmarking and performance analysis on your server. So check out the link in the show notes. It's pretty interesting.
If you're running a large Ruby application, inevitably at some point, your tests are going to start to feel slow.
either because they're slow or because there's thousands of them.
Yeah, it could be either, but either way, you may want to run Test Benchmark, a plugin by Tim Connor, which will let you know which of your test files is taking the most time and letting you know where you might want to add a few stubs. This week, John Dahl wrote up a blog entry showing how he used his plugin to speed up his tests. Check it out.
Will Lineweber recently put together a site called Ruby Review, where he's encouraging people to spend more time reading other people's code. You could submit projects to be reviewed or give your opinion on someone else's code. And the idea behind this is that you become a better programmer by reading code. So that's sort of what he's hoping to gain there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, find a link in the show notes and participate because I think that could be pretty cool.
This week I was hanging out with Michael Johan, and he wanted me to give a mention of the RailswayCon taking place in Berlin, May 25th to 27th. They really put together a good lineup of speakers, so check it out. If you live in Europe, you might want to attend.
If you need to allow your users to upload multiple files in your applications, you may want to check out a tutorial I found this week by Charles Cordingly. His tutorial walks through how to use Paperclip to allow multiple attachments with validations and security.
Yeah, you know, it's cool when you find tutorials like that that sort of pick up where the gem documentation leaves off, you know, and show you how to do something advanced with a tool like Paperclip. So, Jason, have you ever had to deal with streaming Flash video?
Yeah, man, I go on YouTube all the time.
No, I mean, like, having a website where you're streaming out video somewhere.
Yeah, YouTube, dude. I go there all the time.
Okay. Anyways, if you're hosting a website and you want to have some video that streams to your clients, the proper way to do it is to use the Flash Media Server, which is stupid expensive if you want to host it yourself, but you can get around this by getting into a shared hosting environment that'll let you do, you know, streaming through, you know, having a piece of that Flash Media Server.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah, and there's some open source solutions that exist out there to solve this problem, but none of them are easy to use or ready for production. Luckily, this week I ran into a tutorial by, you're going to have to type this name into the, you know, the robot that lets us know how to pronounce people's names.
Key.
Who shows how to do Ruby FLW pseudo streaming using Sinatra and something called Rack Evil. I mean, Rack Evil.
That didn't really sound evil, but it's a good name.
Rack Evil.
I guess if you're going for Disney evil.
The echo in this room is awesome. Anyways, there's a great Ruby gem called FLV Tool 2, which makes it easier to stream. And with a little configuration, you can actually stream Flash without the software investment.
If you need to take a look at what's going on inside your Memcache instances while it's running, Evan Weaver put up something called Peep, which is a Ruby gem that lets you do that, and he shows you how to put the Peep data into a MySQL database so you can actually get historical output of what Memcache is doing. Odds are, if you have a need for this tool, you've probably already heard of it, but I figured we'd give it a mention anyway because it's written in Ruby.
I just want to say I'm all about the peeping. I am pro peeping. Like in the peep code is what I was trying to say. Never mind.
It's awkward.
On April 9th, DreamHost unveiled their new API and announced a competition for whomever creates the best application which uses it. This
was I don't actually have any Rails apps running on DreamHost, but I hear Passenger runs okay.
Yeah, and to make the competition easier for Rubyists, Jared Santo let me know about a Ruby wrapper for their API put together called Dreamy, which should serve as a great starting point if you want to put together an application.
Nice. Did you see that GitHub now has an issue tracker?
Yeah, it's totally awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Now you can really easily bug your favorite gem author by submitting tickets into his issue tracker and even vote the most important issues to the top of the page.
That's great.
Yeah. There's an awesome screencast showing off the tracker on the GitHub blog, which is definitely worth a view.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Talking about GitHub, version 2 of their API recently came out, and Felipe Corey emailed me to tell me about his gem called Octopi, which interfaces with it.
As in Octocat?
Yeah, I guess so. So check out his library if you want to interface with GitHub. In 2 weeks, Jason and I are going to be out at RailsConf. Hope to see some of you there. We're going to be doing a talk on Thursday, May 7th at 11:45, talking about innovation in Rails. Just basically, we get to go through some of the cool tools that we talk about here on the podcast. And then I also wanted to mention the first day of the conference, Tuesday, May 5th, towards the end of the day, we've got the Ruby Hero Awards, where we've got six people. They're already selected. And hopefully we'll be seeing them on stage and giving away some good awards to some people that are deserving. And lastly, I want to mention on Wednesday, May 6th at 8 o'clock at night, the Rails activists are doing a Birds of a Feather. So if you have some feedback, some stuff that you want to see done to improve the accessibility of Rails, or if you want to help contribute to Rails activism, come meet us and talk about it. Bring your ideas.
The Rails Heavy Podcast is sponsored this week by New Relic. With New Relic RPM, you see problems in real time, can drill down to find the causes, fix them, and feel good again. You can find the slowest active record queries and the slowest controllers. Check them out at newrelic.com. Thanks so much for listening to the Rails Heavy Podcast, and make sure to tune in every Wednesday for the latest news in the Ruby and Rails worlds.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.